cycling podcast Femina in association with Rafa. From grand tours to group rides, the Champs-Élysées to coffee stops, Rafa exists to celebrate the world's most beautiful sport.
You are listening to daily episodes of the cycling podcast Femina from OVO Energy Women's Tour, brought to you by Skoda. Dedicated to closing the gender gap in cycling, one race, one cyclist at a time, this is our time. Today we are in Royal Leamington Spa.
Hello, my name's Richard Moore. I'm with English Rose, Rose Manley.
Oh, hello, Richard.
And Rose of Tralee, Orla Shinnowy.
I'll take that. Most of our listeners won't actually know what the Rose of Tralee is. If you don't, I urge you, Google it now.
It's
look it up on YouTube.
It's actually the funniest thing you'll ever see.
I always wanted to be a Rose of Tralee.
Yeah.
I always
thought.
Actually, my mum and dad, my mum certainly wanted me to be a Rose of Tralee. I think it's probably what Father Ted's The Lovely Girl competition is based on. It's genuinely, you have to be lovely, like lovely. And if you can do some Irish dancing or recite a poem or declare your love for your father on stage so much, the better. So I'll take that. Thank you.
Anyway, we're coming to you from the beautiful Royal Leamington Spa. We're sitting in a beer garden outside. What's this pub called?
The Royal Pug, isn't it?
Royal Pug. And very pretty little town. I haven't been here before. We saw stage three of the OVO Energy Women's Tour finish here a little bit earlier. Sarah Roy won to make it 2 out of 3 for Mitchelton Scott so far in this race. Lots to talk about. Tonight, Orla, you spent the day with Trek Drops in the team car. Very dramatic day at the other end of the race, really. And even out the back of the race at one point.
Out of the back of the race twice, actually. Mm. We were out the back of the race with one of their riders, Manon Lloyd, who was spat out the back of the bubble because she got caught up in a crash. And so we were trying to bring her back into the race. But also then one of their riders did abandon today, as well as Abby Van Twisk and abandoning overnight. So plenty of drama from Trek Drops, but not necessarily the kind you would want at the start of a day.
So we'll hear a bit from your day with Trek Drops in part three, I think it is. But let's get your tale of the stage, your story of the stage. And Orla, before you start tonight, one piece of advice for you.
Here we go.
Speak less than thou knowest.
I don't know us very much, though, so if I speak less than that, that's it, I'm done. Right.
I'm just setting up tonight's challenge.
Yes, I did figure. Mm. I did figure that, actually, and I was trying to work this out with you, Richard, the third stage of the race, the longest at 150 kilometres, and we were trying to work out if it was one of the longest stages. I need to calm down. One of the longest stages of any of the races this year, 150 kilometres from Atherston to Royal Leamington Spa in Warwickshire. And it is, I think it's the longest stage of any stage race. Beautiful journey through the Warwickshire countryside, lots of little villages. And if I drove through one traditional stone hamlet, I drove through 100, I tell you. So we had an early crash about 25 kilometres in, the one I referenced, with British riders Healy Simmons of WNT and Manon Lloyd of Trek Drops, both needing treatment for that. Simmons climbed into the back of the ambulance. Her race was over, while Manon spent the next very painful, lonely 30 kilometres trying to get back onto the back of the race. And it is remarkable how quickly those roads open up again. She was already racing through open roads at that stage. The police escorts and the race organisers did an amazing job of shepherding her through. I've never seen them have to do that from the back. And she did eventually make it on, but it was a tough, tough day for her. I spoke to her about that later. So we'll hear about her. We'll hear from her shortly, but all's well that ends well. First intermediate sprint of the day, Corinne Rivera, who has been measure for measure the most consistent rider over the past few days. She took maximum points and bonus seconds. Christine Madjuris in second, with Danny Rowe in there once again for third. Now, Hannah Payton of Trek Drops then climbed into the back of Hayley Simmons' ambulance. She had been up ill all night. She couldn't continue, so her race was over. So another rider down for Trek Drops. Then we saw the start of what was to be a very impressive break. Just over the 50-kilometre go-on mark, Anne-Sophie Doik of Cervelo Bigla and Vita Heine of High Tech Products went off on their own. They've each been their respective countries' individual time trial champions of Belgium and of Norway, so they were able to pace themselves nicely away from the peloton. They built up a lead of over 3 minutes at one stage, and that break lasted some 70 kilometres, so a magnificent effort from those two. And they shared, therefore, the second individual sprint between them. with Heine first, Doig second, and Corin Rivera, the fastest of the bunch, once again. Now, we did, I don't know if you managed to catch this watching from the finish line or following from the finish line, but we did see a brave solo attempt by FDJ's Manuel Temiglo. She tried to bridge the gap between the bunch and the two leaders. She got about 40 seconds on the peloton at one stage, but she was never much closer than 1 minute and 50 to the breakaway, and she was reeled back in again. So the escape was still clear by the time we got to the first Queen of the Mountains. Anne-Sophie Doig first this time ahead of Vita Heine, with third, fourth, fifth and sixth going to Elisa Longo-Borghini, Kasia Niewiadoma, Dani Rowe and Georgia Williams. Now, that was at 113 kilometres. Longo-Borghini and Niewiadoma really started to push the pace up the first Queen of the Mountain climb. They stretched ahead. They never got away, but that increased tempo did eventually bring back the escapees, and they were caught about 10 kilometres later. So then it was kind of race on, really, for the finish line. We had a group of four go clear: Niewiadoma, Alina Amielusik of Canyon SRAM, Longo-Borghini, and Sabrina Stultiens of Wowdales, who was a recent winner, stage winner in Beira. So a dangerous group on paper, you would say, but that grew quite quickly to 25 riders before becoming the ultimate 35 who would contest for the line. Richard, the second Queen of the Mountains, came 25 kilometres from the end. So things are starting to shape up. Maximum points went to Elisa Longo-Borghini, who's been so attacking, so aggressive on this race. Niewiadoma second, Amielusik third, Stultiens fourth, Corin Rivera and Christine Madjeris fifth and sixth. So the last 20 kilometres then, we saw a number of different riders having a go off the front, sometimes in ones, sometimes in twos, never for long enough, actually, for the race radio to actually announce their names and their numbers. So much ado about nothing. The bunch all came back into the finish, contesting the sprint together. So the spoils of the win today, as you said, going to Sarah Roy of Mitchelton Scott. That's her second win of the year, her first Women's World Tour win this year. And it's her second year in a row winning a stage here. She won the following stage, stage four, last year. Rounding out the sprint podium were Georgia Bronzini of Silence Pro Cycling, who won a stage of the Tour of Chongming Island recently, and Maya Navos in third. So a few little shuffles then in the GC. Dani Rowe finished 2 seconds off the lead. So she and teammate Mariana Voss swap positions. So the top three now read Corin Rivera keeps the leader's jersey. Voss in second on 16 seconds. Dani third at 20 seconds off the lead, with a Bowles Dolmans duo of Amy Peters and Christian Madjeris staying fourth and fifth. They're both 23 seconds off the lead. Elisa Longo-Borghini in sixth on 27 seconds, with the rest of the top 10 and actually all the way until 16th place, all in the same time of 29 seconds. So notable, I want to note, to track drops is Eva Berman, who's now in 7th, because it was a great finish for them, considering that two of their riders are now on their way home and another one was trying to get back on all day. Plus, Berman herself actually had a crash before the first climb. Pauline Ferrand-Prevot, also up there, she is on the same time in 10th. So for the jerseys, Elisa Longo-Borghini keeps the Queen of the Mountains jersey, holding it now over Kasia Niewiadoma. Rivera keeps the sprint jersey over Dani Rowe. Rowe is still the best British rider, with a combativity award going to Anne-Sophie Doig. Stage three roundup, as you like it, with a few hidden references in there, just maybe.
Not that, yeah. Well done again, Orla. I mean, you've surpassed yourself after last night's Radiohead epic.
We didn't give the number of, we didn't give
how
the
many references, Radiohead references were
a lot of people got
night.
This right, and I was surprised. It was very well done. I had 11 Radiohead references in the roundup last night, and quite a few got it right. I don't know who got it first. Have we checked?
Oh, no,
it wasn't the first. We're picking a
random.
So we'll pick a winner and they'll win a prize. Tonight, it was a Shakespeare theme, because we are in the land of, well, a couple of literary heavyweights. This is the, we passed by Stratford-upon-Avon, where Shakespeare is from. We also skirted around Coventry, the home of Daniel Freed.
The peacock of Coventry.
The two absolute literary giants, the authors of Merchant of Venice, Mountain High, an acclaimed biography of Eddie Merckx, and Macbeth and Hamlet, and various other great works. So if you can spot the number, or if you can go back and count the number of Shakespeare
titles. They're not references, they're all titles.
Of his works in there, then... Oh, do we have to do another prize? We're going to run out of prizes.
We can just give, like, glory. We'll give some glory in the post.
We'll just name somebody. We can rustle up a prize. Come on.
Yeah.
Rafa, Science and Sport. Someone's got to come up with a prize.
Someone else has to come up with a prize.
Somebody, not us. I'll check this with them later. So that was very comprehensive. Sarah Roy was the winner, as you said there. It was a bunch sprint. In the end, you know, a big group came into the finish and it looked as if not much had changed. But there was an aggressive race once again out there. And there are a few teams that are putting a lot into this race, not maybe getting that much out. We'll talk about that a bit later on. But Sarah Roy was the winner. I think, Rose, you spoke to a distant family member.
Yes,
related to Alex Manley, her teammate.
She's dropped an A if she is. It was complete news to her. And unfortunately, I didn't record the bit where I ended saying power to the Manleys. But it's probably for the best.
And she walked off.
I got kind of not even a whimper from her. But I'm going to work on it. I've been watching her for years and being like, one day we're going to meet up. Because I haven't met Manly before. But she was...
Power to the Manly. Yeah. We'll start that as a chant outside the team bus. See if we can get it going.
We should do it here, right now. Why not?
Maybe not.
But yes, Alex was leading out Sarah Roy. And this is what she had to say.
Alex, tell us what happened with 3K to go.
So with 3K to go, there had been a lot of attacks before then, and Sunweb were covering everything, and I think they were pretty quick to that stage. And Majoris got off solo by herself, and I was coming back from one of my lull moments, and I had heaps of speed, so I chased that until like 2K to go, and I was probably a car length behind, and then the peloton came, and I thought I was done, and Gracie and Roy were together, and then coming into 1K to go, I realised I had more to give. And I saw Roy was now separated from Gracie, so I came up on the outside. And after the last right-hand corner, came up and led out into the last corner. And I looked back and saw, because Roy and I could... We know each other well enough that we know what we're thinking. And so I let it out and then just kind of backed off a bit so she could come around the corner with heaps of speed and first wheel. And then, yeah, she just took it from there and won, which was great.
And how did Sarah react when she knew she got a one?
She was very, very emotional today. It was a big win for her, and Britain in general is just an amazing race. And for her to have an opportunity today, she was, very, very emotional, really happy, and just a bit overwhelmed.
So Sarah Roy was the winner, and that was her teammate Alex Manley. But the other big event today was the breakaway, which the two riders who almost got 4 minutes at one point. It was certainly over 3 minutes, wasn't it?
It was, and that was Anne-Sophie Doik, who was formerly of Drops last year, and Vita Heiner, who is of High Tech Products. And Olaf, your position from the team car was that brake might actually stay away.
Yeah, that was certainly what Bob Varney, the Team DS, seemed to think. He wasn't necessarily too concerned to begin with, but he pointed out to me on several occasions that actually if... they were to gain much momentum and stay out for long enough that he thought it could be a very dangerous break to go all the way, because, as I say, they're both former national time trial champions. And they did stay away for a long time. The problem, I guess, was that their lead became quite steady at around 3 minutes, and then just under 3 minutes. So I think the rest of the bunch always knew that they had them within reelable sight. They never let them get away too far. But it was a dangerous group, and it was a brave move as well. And to look at this stage, which is almost a carbon copy of last year, we saw something similar in that we had the race split and then it was brought back in again. So I guess from experience on that terrain, they also knew that they'd be able to bring somebody back in theory.
It got a bit climby towards the end.
It got a bit climby, yeah, in my technical parlance.
And their time trial specialists. But it was interesting from the point of view of, it was a test of Sunweb, wasn't it? And how much they wanted to take responsibility for controlling the race and closing that down when the other teams could have looked at them to do that, which they did. And we'll hear from Sunweb a bit later on, but you spoke to one of the escapees.
Yes, who didn't win the combativity award, but you know, and as you'll hear, Vita's probably not sure that they were ever actually going to make it to the end themselves anyway.
Okay, Vita, tell us about your day today.
Well, I felt good today, and I wanted to do something today, not just sitting in a peloton and waiting for the climb. So I attacked, and then I got accompanied by a good strong rider from Bigla, and we rode together. So it was quite hard because we were on a breakaway from 50k to the yeah, to the top of the last climb. And then I tried to do something, following attacks and attacking, and it was fun to do something. I got some energy by doing something than just sitting in a peloton. So.
And did you think the breakaway might make it to the end when it was you and Sophie?
No, I didn't think so, but I hope this will be good enough to pass the last climb, and it was. So that was the goal for me.
And is it more important with high tech having an uncertain future to be in breaks, to be seen or in the media?
Yes, for sure it is, yeah. So it's important that to show that we actually are good riders, and we are actually a nice team. So yeah, it's important for us to show that we are actually very nice team, and I hope we can get also some new sponsors. That would be nice.
So that was Vita Heine, one of the two women in the big breakaway today. The other was Sophie Ann Doik, who rides for Cervelo Bigla. Her teammate, Cecilie Uttrup Ludvig, the best young rider in the Women's World Tour last year. Very promising young talent, and a very eloquent young woman as well. I spoke to her at the finish just to find out what it had been like having a teammate up the road like that in what looked like quite a dangerous break, and about her own race as well. Here she is, Cecilie Uttrup Ludvig.
I'm a teammate out front most of the day, but what else happened in the race?
Yeah, I mean, it was super cool to have Anne-Sophie, and she attacked on a perfect moment and went solo for so many k's, and also, yeah, they got 3 minutes, and it was rolling perfect for us. And then, yeah, on the first mountain sprint, they really start to open up, and I think it was Marianne who started the firework, and then it was just like counterattack, and then it split it like all the time on the climbs. It split it in a group of 10, and then it came back, you know, on the descent, and the same happened on the second mountain sprint. We had Anne-Sophie there still, but then, you know, it came all together because there were some attacks on that climb. Sunweb were controlling a lot today, which is also, I mean, fair enough, or makes sense because they had the leader jersey. And then, yeah, the last, like, 15K, it was just like counterattack. Bulls were very aggressive together with Canyon. They were attacking, counterattacking. And all the time Sunweb was controlling, so nothing really went away.
The breakaway did have a big gap at one point, and we were looking at it thinking, could this be a similar scenario to last year when Kasia Nevedoma got a big gap? Were you thinking as well they might have a chance of staying away?
Yeah, I mean, we crossed our fingers and hoped that it wouldn't come down, because it would be perfect for us if, you know, Anne-Sophie and Vita could stay away to the final. They were pushing too hard behind. But that's, I think it was a really interesting bike race today. And, you know, from almost the beginning, we had a lot of attacks. So this was a nice showcase for women cycling. And I think we really made a worthy show. So.
And you're still pretty well placed overall. How are you feeling? And is there a stage coming up that you're really looking forward to?
Yeah, I mean, especially in Wales, it's going to be really a lot of fun. I like hills, and I mean day by day I'm feeling better and better, and I hope that we're just going to continue that way and continue the great teamwork that we're doing, because we really feel united as a team, and it's great to, you know, stay together in the peloton and just show that we are Cervelo Bigla.
Chute à l'arrière du peloton, Cycling Podcast team car at the back of the pack, please.
A brief interruption to tell you about tonight's episode sponsor. It's The Economist magazine.
Yes, The Economist is about far more than just economics and finance. It covers a range of subjects, from politics and business to science, technology, arts and the environment. The Economist helps readers prepare for what's going on in the world around them. And in today's dynamic world, facts matter more than ever. For over 170 years, The Economist has delivered trustworthy intelligence that helps people like you choose where to stand on the issues that matter most. And Richard, I set you the challenge of looking through The Economist and picking out an article or two that caught your eye.
Well, there were lots that caught my eye, but there's one, and the World Cup has just started. Sorry to deviate into football briefly, but this was really fascinating because The Economist, even with a subject that you think you know very well, they can take a different take on it. And they, in typical Economist fashion, have built a statistical model to identify what makes a country good at football. Not to predict the winner so much, although they do that, but to discover the underlying sporting and economic factors that determine a country's footballing potential. They point out that although there is much to dislike about the corruption around the World Cup, the governing body FIFA and the host country, Russia, there is also much to celebrate. For one thing, the standard has gone up. Teams are better than they used to be. The World Cup rewards good government. Dictatorships are rubbish at football. Only four countries rated not free by Freedom House have qualified, and they probably won't go very far. The last country with an autocratic government to win the World Cup was Argentina in 1978. The Women's World Cup has never been won by an autocratic government. It's only ever been won by democracies. They note that whereas autocratic regimes are very good at sports like track and field, where they can ruthlessly drill athletes, football requires more creativity and individual flair. They conclude that the international football, for all that we might not like some of the elements around it, it actually punishes inward-looking countries and rewards those with more cosmopolitan attitudes. Who do they think will win the World Cup?
Well, I was going to say, with the statistical model that they have devised, all the intricacies of it and the intelligence that went behind it, I'm guessing they went for Germany.
Absolutely. I don't know where Scotland fits into their statistical model.
Or Ireland.
Scotland have boycotted the World Cup for the reasons mentioned earlier.
For reasons best known to themselves.
Anyway.
Not being good enough.
The Economist is the smart guide to the forces changing your world. Get your free copy now. You can get a free copy of listening to the Cycling Podcast by texting BIKES, B-I-K-E-S, to 78070. That's 78070 for a free print copy of The Economist.
Hi, my name is Hannah Barnes. I'm a professional cyclist on Canyonshire Racing Team, and I support Skoda's campaign to close the gender gap in cycling, one race, one cyclist at a time. This is our time. I always say it's fast enough to get somewhere, but slow enough to see places. And it's true, you can go on so many adventures and see different roads and stop in a pub or a cafe on the roadside. And I just think it's a great way to meet people too. I mean, through cycling, I've met loads of people and I've been to some really cool places.
Thank you very much to Škoda for backing the Cycling Podcast Femina and helping us be here covering it every day. We're
happy. You do realise when you go back to tooting and you start pronouncing it like that, everyone will just laugh.
Everyone like walks
back.
Their
I'll
own path in tooting.
Oh, of course, sorry.
They definitely do.
Yeah. Well, thank you to Škoda. And but we're enjoying it, aren't we? Covering the women's tour every day. It's only day three. It seems like it's been going on for longer. Is that a good thing or?
I don't know.
Well, I think you get into a race bubble very, very quickly, don't you? And because every race almost feels like a continuation of the last, because the rhythm is quite similar, the routine's quite similar, the people are very similar. So because there is no routine whatsoever to your race, other than you go to hotels, you get up at the same time, you go to a new place, everywhere's new, but the routine around it. Am I making any sense?
I think you need to go into some John Clare now.
What is
but
life?
Happiness is just a bubble, so don't bother.
Anyway, some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them. And
which are we? Can we be one each?
That brings me, of course, to Corin Rivera.
Of course, not
the
us.
The current leader of the race. And she survived today in the leader's green jersey. And she seemed pretty cool about that in the press conference afterwards. She's not, she doesn't get carried away, does she? She's quite self-contained, I would say, Corin Rivera. She isn't used to being in this situation, doesn't see herself as a GC rider. But nevertheless, she's got a very good chance of winning the race, and she's got a very good team here. She pointed out that she had five teammates over that last climb. And they had a big day today to control the race, reel in these breakaways, and keep things under control when there were a lot of attacks coming in the final stages. So they passed today with flying colours, really. And you know, I don't think other teams are getting desperate yet, but they're a pretty formidable outfit to go up against.
They are, and Corin also added time on everyone else today. Yeah. which I don't think anyone was expecting.
In the intermediate sprints, but then Marianne Vos also gained a bit of time.
Yeah, but in the intermediate sprints, but then at the end, she gained time on Danny Rowe.
Oh, yeah.
Because
there was a little split.
Yeah, it was a little split, and I think Danny probably just got caught out there a little bit.
Her lead at the top is still pretty much of a muchness. I think Marianne Vos is 16 behind, whereas Danny yesterday was 15 behind. So Danny's dropped back a little bit, but her buffer, if you like, at the top of the race is still fairly similar, but that she's managed to maintain that when, as she keeps saying, she's not a GC rider is testament to the rest of her team as much as anything else, isn't it? And her sprinting.
I spoke to a couple of her teammates at the finish. Shall we hear from them now? Leah Kurtzman from Canada, and well, with Katie Archibald having gone home, there's only one Scottish rider left in the race.
Flirty Mackay.
I think she's an honorary Scotsman with a name.
Does she know this sounds, yet?
No.
You should just buy her a kilt for the
Flirty
end.
Flirty Mackay. Her parents are following the race around in a camper van. I asked her about that. I think Marianne Vos's parents are here as well with their pet cat.
And I saw Danny Rowe's parents.
And Hannah Barnes and Alice Barnes' parents are here.
Their parents go to every stage of the race. So, yeah, there's a little like.
And their parents the Barnes parents, camper. Took Abby Van Twist to hospital tonight, mm-hmm. didn't they? To avoid her having to go in the ambulance all the way to Ipswich. Mm-hmm. So, lots of parents following the race. But Flirty Mackay's parents here with their pet dog. They've got a dog with them. Well,
do we have a name? We need to know the name.
I'll ask all the hard questions.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
So we'll hear first from Leah Kurtzman and then from Flirty Mackay.
And then her dog.
Who's actually from Holland. Today you're defending the jersey. That breakaway got a big lead. There must have been a few nervous moments for you.
Yeah, they had a pretty big gap there at one point, but we weren't too concerned about it. We were actually okay to let them go to the line. They were a couple minutes back in GC, but we just had to keep it under control.
Because the teams aren't big, so there are only a few of you to do quite a lot of work. Was that, did it give you a taste of what you might have to expect for the next couple of days as well?
Yeah, you do have to be careful of how you spend your energy. We're only six riders per team, so... You know, you just have to be careful where you're focusing on.
So, no, it wasn't. I mean, because it feels like the race is still very open and quite poised, and there are a lot of strong teams and strong riders. Quite a difficult thing to control, I would have thought.
Yeah, it is really hard to control, and there's a lot of bonus seconds and hard stages coming up with lots of climbing, so I'm sure we'll have quite the job defending the jersey.
Any riders or teams that you particularly fear?
I think Wow Deals is a big threat with Danny King and Marianne Vos just a few seconds back. And I mean, there's still so many people within 20 seconds of the lead that I think we need to watch all the big teams.
Now, the race has an association with the breast cancer charity. You're all wearing pink ribbons in your hair. You've got someone's name on that, but you're also raising money for breast cancer yourself, aren't you?
Yeah. It's really cool that the race is partnered with this charity that helps women who had breast cancer and also just raising awareness around it. All the ribbons that we have, they have a message from different breast cancer survivors, so it's pretty cool. It kind of, you know, when you think about that when you're racing, it kind of gives you a little more strength, and I'm so impressed by people who are so resilient when they're facing disease. And yeah, personally, I felt motivated to do something extra and raise some money because both my grandmas actually have battled breast cancer, and it's kind of a cause close to my heart.
So how can people donate to your fundraising efforts?
If you visit if you go to my Twitter or Instagram, I have the link up there, and you can just donate directly to breast cancer care. That would be fantastic.
A tough day defending the jersey today.
Yeah, it was really, really hard. Yeah, still in the lead. So not to win, but still in the lead. And we want to defend it also the upcoming 2 days.
There's it's still very close, and there's obviously some strong teams and riders. Which ones do you expect to put you under pressure over the next couple of days?
For sure. There are a lot of strong riders. Actually, I don't know what was the result of the day exactly, but we just go for it for every second. That's are we going to do.
I notice you've got your parents with you. Again, they're traveling around in a camper van, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. My parents with the dog, they are visiting here also. So that's really nice to see them at the start line and the finish line. Yeah, that means a lot for me.
So Marina Vos has, I think her parents are here with the cat and your parents are here with the dog.
Yeah, and my dog is already super old, so she's sleeping the whole day in the van, so she has a good life.
The cycling podcast Femina is supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
Thank you to Science and Sport for their support of the cycling podcast Femina. And a reminder that during the Women's Tour, you can get 30% off all your Science and Sport products with the code WOMENSTOUR30 at scienceandsport.com. And that includes discounted products. It's a fantastic deal. We're off tonight to stay with Canyon SRAM team. We're meeting some of them tonight to put some of your questions to them about fueling and nutrition. That's if we can get there in time. That's in the balance at the moment, I would say. We heard there before the break from a couple of the Team Sunweb riders, Leah Kirchman and Flirty Mackay. And
that wasn't Flirty Mackay.
We're hearing
or
now.
Her
that's
dog.
Not her dog. That's not her. That's not her aging dog that we can hear in the background. That's another dog. But you know, it does. We're talking about some of the other teams, and I was asking them about who they fear. Kasia Nevedoma from Canyon SRAM was very active in the closing stages of the day. We've seen a lot from Elisa Longo Borghini as well. And Bulls Dolmans are the other big team who so far have got nothing in this race. And 2 days to go and a hard stage on Sunday. They're going to have to throw everything at it, aren't they, some of these teams? I got the impression outside the Canyon SRAM bus today that there was a little bit of frustration because they have put a lot into this race so far and really got nothing out of it yet.
Yeah, because I remember you said, or Kasia said in the interview that we did,
the preview
was it, that they wanted to go for a win on every stage, and they haven't come close to that even. And it's interesting seeing WOW deals being so competitive, because really haven't seen that. It's always been kind of a one woman show, that team, and now you can obviously see that Danny Rowe has come up, and now Rowe and Vos together is a really powerful force.
And also they've been saying how the rest of their team have worked incredibly well for them to make sure that they are at the, to continue with my technical parlance, the pointy end of the race together to contest it. You know, if you look at, we're talking Canyon SRAM, so their top rider at the moment, Pauline Ferrand-Prévot, in 10th. So they've got another couple, 15th, Alina Amialusic, and then Kasia Nevedoma in 21st. I mean, it's not great. It's hardly dominating the top half of the table. If you look at WOW deals, yeah, they do have Marianne Vos and Danny Rowe. But then they also have Sabrina Stultians in 11th. So I think they're probably definitely outperforming maybe what... Oh, my goodness, how many caveats can I put in? I'll be definitive here. They're outperforming what our expectation would have been of them as a team, as a whole. And Bulls Dolmans, yes, we've got Amy Peters and Christine Madjuris who've been good and active and strong since the start. But you've got Chantal Black, who's just under 50 seconds back, I think, in 20-something position, which is not what we would have expected from the world champion, and certainly not from a team like Bulls Dolmans working together.
It's great on paper, isn't it, to have various options and cards to play. But, you know, with Sunweb now, they've got a very clear focus, haven't they? They've got a leader, a rider in the jersey, and someone who looks more than capable of winning this race. I mean, for someone else to win it, Corinne Rivera will have to be dropped.
Well, it's quite interesting, actually, because there's also, to use a cycling podcast phrase, there's a lot of people in that GC top 10 who they're...
Ala Zubeldia. Who's a female? Who's a female Heimar Zubeldia? There's a good question.
That is a good question.
I'm not saying she's a female Heimar Zubeldia at all, but a rider who's very consistent and doesn't often get the big win is Elisa Longo Borghini.
That's true, but like Majerus also.
Yeah,
is kind of like that. But I mean, Majerus is actually fifth. Yeah. So
well, if you look as well at Longo Borghini, she has been really animating this race. And if we look at part of the reason that, for example, Ashley Milman-Passio said that she wasn't here because the race wasn't tough enough, you could argue that that's the same for Elisa Longo Borghini. She really likes tough racing. So the fact that she's doing so well and pushing so hard when the race isn't necessarily as tough as she would like it to be, I think is testament to her. And it's also because we know that she had a very slow and frustrating spring. She suffered flu. She had to sit out the Tour of Flanders for the first time in a number of years. And I know that really hurt her. So she's coming at this even hungrier than before. I think she's been brilliant. I think she's been one of my riders of the race, not only in terms of results, but just because, you know, if you look at today, for example, when we had the breakaway that had been going for, I don't know, 30, 40 kilometres, and it's Elisa Longo-Borghini and Kasia Niviadoma who are pushing the pace on, who are leading it, who are taking charge of the race. I just like that kind of aggressive kind of racing. I think she's been brilliant.
We see that all the time with her. She, even if she's not the fastest finisher, which she isn't, she will give everything to a breakaway. She's a real... she's a real trier. And this, it's almost like we planned this. This leads nicely into a conversation I had with Elisa Longo-Borghini at the start this morning.
Because maybe we should plan these things more often. That would have worked.
She has had a slow start to the year, but she does look back to her best here. Here's what she had to say at the start in
Atherston
this morning. We watched the TV highlights last night, just how aggressive you were, because we didn't see that obviously at the finish. But you were really aggressive towards the end of the stage yesterday. You're obviously feeling good.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I feel like my shape is growing. I had a good block of training, and right now I'm just here for getting to shape. But I'm all right, and I hope my team can perform well.
You've always been a really consistent rider, but you've had a difficult year so far. You were ill, weren't you, in the spring?
Yeah, I went through some hard times in the spring, but right now I feel like I'm over, and I'm ready for the summer.
What was it? Was it flu that you had? That was what was reported.
Yeah, I had a flu, then I had bronchitis, and then a bit of allergy, and everything compromised my spring.
So do you feel back to your full health, full strength here?
Maybe not full strength, but I'm really close to.
And what do you think about the race? I mean, how well do you know the courses that are coming up, the stages that are coming up, and do you think there's going to be opportunities for you to get away and to maybe, you know, be a contender to win this race?
You never know here, because it's hilly, but it's also a race that suits the sprinters. So the teams surely want some sprints, but we will see. We will try to create the opportunities.
The RAFA Cycling Club is the largest global community of its kind. Members share their passion for the road through rides, events, exclusive club kit and racing. Find out more at rafa.cc.
Thank you very much to RAFA for sponsoring the cycling podcast Femina. They've been our headline sponsor for a long time now. And they make the beautiful Pedaleuse de Charme t-shirts, which we've been presenting every day. Presented Abby Van Twisk with her t-shirt last night. She was staying in the same hotel as us. The Drops team were there.
And she was wearing it at breakfast this morning.
So I got a photo of her holding up last night and a picture of her wearing it this morning. Perfect.
She wears it very well.
She does, actually. She sells that t-shirt
to me.
She
really does.
Yeah,
she does sell it very well. Unfortunately, it's not currently available. but it's coming.
I meant conceptually. We're laughing. This is not funny. This needs to be sorted.
It's coming. No, it's coming. The Pedaleuse de Charme, I think there's... you know, these things, the high demand, these things sell out. So it's coming soon. Pedaleuse de Charme t-shirt will be back in stock soon at rafa.cc. Pedaleuse de Charme jerseys, Pedaleuse de Charme range as well. It'll all be there.
We'll blame Abby. We'll say she broke the internet.
It'll all be there in time for the Tour de France. Everyone wants to look like Abby Van Twisk. And we wish her well, because she went off to catch a train back to London this morning, you know, catching a train with all the commuters. And there she is, wearing her shorts and a t-shirt, her Pedaleuse de Charme t-shirt, with covered in bandages and, you know, wounds, and getting some strange looks, I'm sure, from some of her fellow passengers.
Quite an anomaly in the morning community.
Quite an anomaly. Quite an anomaly. But we wish her well. Who's today's Pedaleuse de Charme is the big question. Any nominees?
We had discussed this, hadn't we? I can't remember who we said. Had we said someone?
Well, we heard. I threw Leah Kirchman's name into
the ring.
You know, given that she's doing a bit extra for the breast cancer charity, I thought she was a contender. What do you think? Any other contenders? Manon Lloyd. We can't get it's Drops rider already. Yeah. Not that there's a
rule.
But maybe
that's true. She would have been a strong contender for me, because to see her suffering and pain today was just horrendous, and it really brought home how brutal this race is. You look at the riders who ride solo out front, and we had a lone breakaway yesterday, and the glory that comes with riding on your own when you're at the front end of the race compared to the the horror at the back is really quite brutal.
It's all very well for us to say, oh, Kai and SRAM haven't done anything.
They haven't been trying.
Anyway, there can be only one winner, unfortunately. But who's our peddlers de charme then? Come on. Come on. Leah Kirchman.
Let's do Leah Kirchman. Yeah, I'm happy with that.
I'm happy with that.
It's more that we didn't actually sit down and properly have what we usually have is a little bit of a jury debate. We each present our nominees and we do it in a fair and proper and rigorous process.
It's a lot like the X Factor, isn't it?
It is. It's a little bit like
at the stage where you put the photos on the table, you say, these would be my finalists, blah, blah, blah.
I do some atmospheric music in the background. Richard cries usually.
Yeah.
And this time we've just done it over a few beers.
Yeah.
But Leah Kirchman, for her efforts in raising extra money for breast cancer awareness, I think it's very, very good.
And by presenting her the coveted T-shirt, if that helps to raise more awareness for what she's doing, then all the better. So we'll seek her out in the morning and give her the T-shirt.
Amen,
now,
sister.
I saw her chatting to Tim Harris this morning, actually. I've mentioned Tim Harris a couple of times. He featured in a Cycling Podcast Friends special earlier this year. He and his partner, Jocelyn Ryan, who's working on the race, they run a house in Belgium where young riders live and train and pursue their dreams of turning professional. And they've had a lot of Canadian riders over the year. The Canadian teams have stayed there. And Leah Kirchman is a former resident of that house. So he knows her quite well. Your day, Orla. We're on to your day now. What did you do?
At last, my moment. What I did, obviously, we spoke about it earlier. But yes, I was in the Trek Drops car today. And so they started the day, I mean, relatively well, considering that Abby Van Twisk had just been dropped off at the train station to head back to London. But they did have Eva Berman in the top 10. She was in eighth. And so that meant that our car was at the front of the convoy because we had two riders from Wild Wheels, obviously two from Bols Dalmans. So take them out. And we were car number six in the convoy. So it was a good position to be able to see what was going on at the start. Unfortunately, it ended up being very much a day at the back of the race, but it was all the more fascinating for it. And I've got all the more admiration for all the girls because of it. We had Manon Lloyd with her incident. And then we also had Hannah Payton, who, unfortunately for Abby Van Twisk, shared a room with her last night. So as Abby described it, Abby was sticking to the sheets with her open wounds and Hannah was being sick multiple times through the night. She contracted either a bug or food poisoning or something. They started the race hoping that she might be able to at least finish because Abby had gone home. They needed Hannah all the more. They were fairly confident she probably wouldn't finish. She didn't, but that wasn't the end of their troubles.
So Manon's just had a crash. Wiggle high five service, please. 25.7 kilometres. Manon Lloyd is on the floor. There's a rip in her jersey on the right hand side. She doesn't look in good shape at all. They're taking her helmet off, trying to test her head, feeling the back of her neck. But Bob's just run out with the mechanic. And this doesn't look very good. It's amazing how quickly you're out of the bubble, how quickly you're out of the race and having to fight traffic. Mentally, that must be quite stressful for her as well as physically.
She'll be fine. She just needs to take it nice and steady, Manon. Long way to go. We're all cool. We're doing great. We took Hannah back 2 years ago. We're going to take you back. It's going to be fine. We've got the police. We've got the riders. We're fine.
Keep right. Keep telephone. Keep right.
We've got the radio back. We're getting there. Yeah. We've got the race radio back, Manon. We're getting there. We're taking you back. It's going to be cool.
Two riders go clear at the head of the race. 3:02:32. And Sophie Deutsch from Cervelo Biela Pro Cycling and 1:16. Vita Hein, High Tech Products. Two riders on the attack at the head of the race.
What way do I get the car?
We'll take you to the back, and then you have to go from car to car. But I'll take a fine. I'll take you as far as I can until I get a bollocking. And then you'll have to overtake me on the right. On that wheel, this is it. This is your last chance, Saloon. Come on, Manon. Give me 5 more minutes. One more effort. Come on.
Peloton at 1 minute. Second peloton at 1 minute.
So Bob, you've left Manon there with the Gruppetto to do her bit and get in for the day. That's her role for the rest of the race. Now we're heading up through the race convoy.
Yeah, it was unfortunate that Manon crashed because I was hoping she'd be a bit more active in the first part of the race. But once she did crash and once we knew Hannah was sick, it was all about really trying to nurse Manon through to get her into the Gruppetto so she could perhaps fight to help out tomorrow and Sunday. But now we've got to focus 100% on the front of the race. We have three girls in the front. We've got Lizzie and Abby May with Eva, and we're coming into the last QOM. And yeah, it's going to be an exciting finale with the break still away. The time gap's coming down quite quickly. And it's going to be, a reduced bunch sprint in Leamington Spa where, Eva could quite easily podium, get in the top 10.
That was a brutal day for you out there today. Talk me through it.
Yeah, didn't really go to plan. Hit the deck quite early on. Made it quite hard for myself, chasing back on for, don't even know how long it was, but it felt like ages. And then got there, and then just every time we went up the climbs, I was just going backwards just because I couldn't pedal up them. But I got myself to the finish so I can start tomorrow. So, yeah.
I think it was about 30 kilometres that you had to do before you were even back into the race again, and we were able to hear race radio in the car. What's that whole chase on like when you know that the roads are open, that the race has gone through already? Psychologically, that must be really difficult.
Yeah, I really, at one point I was like, do I just stop? Because I really didn't think I was going to make it back. But yeah, Bob kept me going. It was quite positive. So yeah, he got me back.
Because he was very calm but reassuring on the radio. Does that help then?
Yeah, massively, because I was kind of panicking myself. So to have someone talking to you calmly and being quite positive about it is quite nice.
And then at the very end, we were trying to get you back on the Gruppetto again. And even that was a race in itself, really. Was there a relief to finally get on the Gruppetto, or was that just still more misery?
Yeah, I thought I was going to be on my own to the finish, but I was quite happy I got myself into group about 30, so got me to the finish, yeah.
How do you recover from this for tomorrow then? How do you find the legs again? And it's certainly for the Welsh stage, which I know you'll be looking forward to.
Yeah, I just want to get to the Welsh stage. Just look after myself, I think, just kind of see how it goes tomorrow.
So that was a little selection of highlights from Orla's day in the car. We'll actually be producing, there was a lot of stuff and it was good, so we're going to produce that as a special episode and put it out next week for friends of the podcast. If you're interested in hearing about Orla's day with Trek Drops, it's thoroughly entertaining because I've listened to quite a lot of it already. You've recorded quite a lot in there, Orla.
I tend to go a bit.
About 70 files I have to go through. But anyway, it was
70 files of pure
all
goals.
Good stuff.
But at least half were good.
Before we do our local cultural bit, which has become a very popular feature of the cycling podcast, Femina, the Oval Energy Women's
Tour. The Culture Corner.
We've got a bit of news, potential news.
Potential news. I get nervous now in case
it's a scoop.
Well, it might be a scoop.
I want to hear this.
Yeah,
I know
you don't know
is.
What it is yet. Well, I've heard that. So we know that this year, it's got nothing to do with the Women's Tour. But I've heard that we know that this year's World Championships will be the last time that we will see a trade team time trial. So we've got the World Championships in Yorkshire next year. And what I understand is that they're working towards staging a mixed sex team time trial. So it will be a national teams, but men and women riding in the same team together as part of the same time trial team, with a view to then introducing that as an Olympic discipline, possibly for
fascinating.
Tokyo.
That is amazing.
Revolutionary.
But I mean, the Netherlands are a shoe in there, and they put your bets on now. Surely,
that's a good shout.
But I like that idea. I saw in athletics they were doing a mixed relay, and it was superb.
Was it good?
It was excellent.
Because
especially as the woman won in the end.
Well, I'm a little bit hesitant about it. I like the idea of anything new and trying something different, but I'm not a big fan of gimmicks for gimmick's sake.
It sounds very dangerous, definitely.
I'm not entirely sure about it, because we also like to reiterate that men's and women's cycling, bless you Richard, men's and women's cycling are different sports, that there is no need to compare times, you know, and there's no need to compare.
But you wouldn't be
but they're not comparing
times,
yeah,
because they'd be running together.
I know, but they're racing against each other, so you're not comparing times, you're just racing with each other and against each other. With and against, yeah. Do you not see where my slight reservation comes from?
No.
Well, the guys will have to slow down for the women to.
Well, that's the case. In any team time trial, the that's team true. Has to ride as only as fast
as one.
As
that's true.
The weakest link, and so it's there's an art to that, and there's an art to doing that if you're the strongest rider there, just as there is if you're the weakest rider there, and I think it could be really interesting. I relish it. I think it'll be good.
I am for it. I'm for it, but I'll reserve my. Definitive opinion on it for what it's worth until I see it. Well, I'll like to see it first. I think it's exciting.
I think it should be reserved just to actual couples who are, riders who are dating.
Oh my God, like a Love Island mixed time trial. I love it. Can we do it? Can we make it happen? But then you have, because the thing is that you'd have couples
Hale
changing.
Hale Gegenhart and Hannah Barnes.
Yeah, but
John Dibben, Abby May Park.
But then what if, for example,
Doma,
what if
Taylor Finney?
But if
they
got
could
injured.
Ride from the same country, could they?
Oh, I see. So, yeah. Oh, yeah, but that's a little bit. Maybe it should just be couples.
Maybe just couples. But the problem is then if one gets injured, then obviously the healthy rider will go off and find a new partner just for the time trial. This is why
so
it's Love Island.
Oh, it's so cynical.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's let's get on to the cultural stuff because we're just speculating now, and Lionel will be listening and he'll be very unhappy.
He'll be getting nervous.
Look, we got an email from Jonathan Smith, a listener to the podcast, who told us about the connection that Royal Leamington Spa has with elephants. There's an elephant wash here in Leamington. The first elephant trainer in England was Sam Lockhart, born to a circus family in Leamington in 1850. He brought three elephants back from Ceylon, which is now Sri Lanka, and taught them tricks. So the elephants were taken down to bathe in the river beside the post office here. There you go. It's an interesting fact. Yeah, there's a.
They had to move the elephant washing spot, though, did they not? Because it was too close to the church, and it was disturbing.
I've shared all the knowledge I have about this.
It was disturbing the parishioners. They had to move the elephant wash away from the church, which I love. That's very English, isn't it?
It is. Post office is arriving.
Such one-up
womanship there. Wow.
We also went past Bosworth on the way here, didn't we? Did anybody notice that? You know, the Battle of Bosworth. The last significant battle in the War of the Roses. I wanted to be on the lookout for a bar called Bar 43. It wasn't called Bar 43 back in the Battle of Bosworth days. You might not be surprised to learn. It was called the Three Tuns then. And Henry VII is reputed to have stayed there before the Battle of Bosworth in 1485, which, of course, is the civil war between the houses of Lancaster and York. Won by the Lancasterians.
We still see so many of those Yorkshire flags everywhere. Even at a race which is nowhere near Yorkshire, like this one, every day I see a Yorkshire flag proudly.
And maybe
being
our
flown.
International listeners don't realise that.
True.
Rivalry.
Yes, so the Yorkshire flag is a blue flag with a white rose, and a Lancashire flag is, don't know, but red.
Isn't it white
red
with
rose?
A red? White flag with a
I
red
don't know
rose?
What the back is. We'll go
isn't
for
it,
that.
I think? Just stand by for the deluge of Twitter.
Yes, it's a red
rage.
Rose.
Yes,
that of that. We're
but
sure.
Yes, so Bosworth. Bosworth was important in the War of the Roses, and then Middlemarch. But I've mentioned Middlemarch already, and Richard's looking a bit desperate at me because he didn't bring along his copy of Middlemarch for me to read
en
route.
It was too big for you to read.
And he's finished his beer,
love.
Which is also
big,
important.
Love.
It's a big book. It's a big old book.
I've got a big old head. I can fit it in. Thank you very much.
Not the luggage space, though, probably.
Not the luggage. I could have downloaded the Kindle version, couldn't I? But, yes, also every show of Tuesday here, apparently, they play a boisterous ball game that they've played on the main street since the 13th century. So we should have been here at
a
Easter.
Boisterous what?
Ball game. A game with balls.
Oh, ball game.
Yeah. I'm running through lists of facts now. Whenever you don't contextualise them, it becomes a little bit irrelevant,
yes.
Doesn't it?
shall we wrap it up?
Oh, I've got more to come.
Anything else?
Oh, yeah, I do actually. Because I've been doing singing references as we've gone, and this hasn't gone down very well. I played it this morning in the car, and the boys weren't that impressed.
I even heard about this.
James Morrison.
I heard about it, yeah.
James Morrison is from Rugby. I like that. What that song, You Give Me Something, you know that one?
But Pete Doherty's also from around here, so yeah. We could.
Ken Loach, esteemed director.
We're throwing out names now.
Who has directed one of my favourite actors in the world, Cillian Murphy, so Ken Loach. Is from around
the less
here.
Said about Cillian Murphy, the better, I think.
Are you kidding me?
Well, no, I just know where this conversation
goes
when you're talking about
it. Oh, yeah,
we'll
stop recording and we'll keep chatting about that.
Shall we? Anyway. Shall we? shall we play out with a little reading from Shakespeare's The Cannibal, the award-winning biography of Eddie Merckx? Or am I getting a bit confused there? Anyway, no, we should wrap things up, okay? That's it for
I
stage three.
I thought you were
three.
Actually going to read a sign. I was getting quite excited.
That's it for stage three of the OVO Energy Women's Tour. Orla, thank you.
Thank you very much indeed.
Rose, thank you.
Thanks to both of you. It's been a blast.
A cycling podcast, Femina, in association with Rafa. From grand tours to group rides, the Champs-Élysées to coffee stops, Rafa exists to celebrate the world's most beautiful sport.
You've been listening to the cycling podcast Femina at the OVO Energy Women's Tour. Big thanks to our sponsors, Rafa, Science and Sport and Skoda. The music you've heard in this episode is by Glasspear and bensound.com. Big thanks to them as well. This episode has been produced by Tom Wally.